spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
May all your hearts be Israel.
The eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light. This program comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today is entitled A Quiet Life in Hampshire by Morton Wishengrad and is based on an article by Molly Panted Downs, which appeared in the New Yorker magazine. Featured as the doctor is Horace Braham.
We hear you, Lieutenant.
I've got another lot and want to land, sir.
How many of this trip, Lieutenant?
39. They're a queer lot. Queerer than the others.
Circle the field once, Lieutenant, and come in on strip 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Landing strip 4.
You might have some lorries waiting to take them off.
They're waiting, Lieutenant. Come in.
Righto. Here I come.
Bloomsbury House, London. Yes, Captain. For you, Mr. Menzies, RAF calling.
Oh, thanks. Menzies speaking. You there? How many did you say, Captain? 39. Oh, very good. Yes, our man is waiting at Hampshire. Oh, you needn't worry, Captain. He's a good chap. He'll know how to handle them. Of course. Yes, of course. We know they're very difficult. Just send them on to Hampshire. Our chap will know how to handle them.
'34, '35, '36, '37, '38, '39. All accounted for, Doctor.
Thank you, Mrs. Pollen.
There might be a bit of trouble, Doctor.
I dare say. Have they been searched?
They have. Two American pocket knives and some contraband cigarettes. That appears to be all, Doctor.
Good enough. I shall speak to you in English. Ihr seid in England. Wie weit möglich werde ich Englisch sprechen. Versteht ihr?
Doctor.
Yes?
That one, Doctor. The one at the extreme right.
You over there. Yes, you. Will you come here? Come here. What is your name? I'm asking you what your name is. Wie heißt du? Very well, you needn't answer.
Put down that cigarette. We allow no smoking here. Rauchen ist hier verboten. Bitte halt es nicht. Doctor, he refuses.
Easy, Mrs. Pollock.
I shall not have my authority flouted. Put down that cigarette.
Please, Mrs. Pollock. Let's not try to create any additional problem for ourselves. Mind if I try one of your cigarettes? Thank you. A light, if you please. American brand, isn't it? Quite good. I should like to know your name. Wie heißt du bitte? All right, we shall discover your name later. Wie alt bist du?
Signore.
Well, that's something. This boy is 10 years old. Mrs. Pollock, you may show them all to their dormitories. And let's try not to have any trouble. They were flown to England by the RAF, between 400 and 500 children from Bergen-Belsen, from Buchenwald, from Treblinka. They are not like any children that you've ever seen. This is the reception hostel of the village of Durley in Hampshire. I'm in charge. Durley is a quiet place. Nothing much but sleepy brown fields, an occasional thatched cottage and windy sky. And now 71 boys and girls between the ages of 9 and 16. 57 boys, 14 girls. There are always fewer girls than boys. The very young children and the girls died more easily. Those that are here are not like other children.
In one moment, the dinner bell will sound. Three times each day, it will call you to your meals. Now, food is not abundant in England, but what there is, you will find wholesome and nourishing. Your food is ready. Stop it!
Oh, leave them alone. Leave them alone, Mrs. Pollard. The steak is ours, not theirs. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
You can speak a little English, can't you?
Cheerio.
That's fine. Now, why did the riot take place in the dining hall?
I do not know.
Please, trust me. I don't want to punish anyone. I want to know. I must know, so that I can help you.
I do not speak.
Won't you trust me?
Nein.
Very well. I shall tell you then. In Buchenwald, the Nazis would throw a single loaf of stale bread into a room full of children. So you fought for it like wild beasts.
Yeah.
I should have remembered, shouldn't I? Can't you understand that this is England? You've been brought here by the Jewish Refugee Committee because we're anxious to help you.
You are a man.
Do you think every man is someone to fear?
Yeah.
Boy, that isn't true. No one's going to torture you anymore. No one's going to make life hideous anymore. Won't you trust us?
Nein.
You have a right to say no. Very well, don't trust us now, if you like. Look. Have you ever seen one of these?
Nein.
It's a fork. You hold it in your left hand. You eat with it. Now, this is a table knife. This is a spoon. This small spoon is for dessert. You're a big boy. Have you no recollection of these things?
Nein.
Mrs. Pollock, set a single place in the dining hall. And please ask the children to come in. We have to begin from the beginning. I want you to watch. Now, this is a chair. When we eat, we don't sit on the floor. We sit in a chair. This is my place at the table. Everyone has a place, and no one will take that away from you. No one, believe me.
Put down that cigarette.
Oh, no, Mrs. Pollock. Let him smoke. Let's not pretend, not with them. Boy, why do you smoke?
I smoke.
He's only 10 years old.
I smoke. When Americans come, I run errand. Pay me in cigarette. I smoke. All children smoke.
Little girl, you smoke?
Yeah, I smoke.
Bad for little girls?
Yeah.
Then why do you do it?
Shall I tell you what happened to my mother?
No.
Shall I say what happened to my father?
No.
Then I tell you what happened to the Kinder?
No.
You want I should not tell you?
I'd rather not.
Then you do not know why I smoke. All right, I still smoke.
Doctor, aren't you going to do something about it?
Not yet, Mrs. Pollock. You might see that they have cigarettes.
I most certainly will not, Doctor. I absolutely refuse.
No, Mrs. Pollock, it's not a request. You will see to it that cigarettes are distributed to those who want them.
Under no circumstances, Doctor.
I'm sorry to hear you say that, Mrs. Pollock. I shall have to do it myself. are not like other children. They are not children. They are scarred with memory and old with memory. They are not sure that every grown-up is not an enemy. They are reasonable, as old men are reasonable. But as old men are sometimes suspicious, they are also suspicious. As the weeks went by, we discovered things about them. Things which visitors from London could never understand.
Doctor, you are doing a noble piece of work. These children are eternally obliged to you.
No, madam. They've no sense of being under obligation to anyone.
Why, that's astounding.
I don't know that it is, madam. They don't express the thought, but they feel that society has an obligation to them.
Oh, extraordinary. I should think that after coming from Belsen, they would find it heaven here.
They're very critical, madam. When we give them a coat, they'll touch the cloth and comment on the terribly poor quality.
Oh, I'm disappointed, Doctor. Very disappointed.
Are you, madam? All their lives, they've worn cast-off rags. It would have been wonderful psychologically if we could have given them new clothes instead of second-hand shoes and second-hand trousers and second-hand dresses.
Oh, naturally, Doctor. But now they must wait. They must wait and hope. Children always know how to hope.
English children, madam. Hope is a habit. Has to be learned. And these children have too much memory for hope. At night, shall I tell you what they sing at night? The lights are put out in the dormitory. There is silence for a moment, and then a child begins to sing. The others join. They sing a song of Treblinka. Not far from here, at the shunting yard, the people are crowding around the cattle trucks. Do not leave me here alone, mother. You will never come back.
They sing that, Doctor.
Every night, madam.
Oh, Doctor, you must make them stop singing.
Not at all, madam. I want them to sing it out. All of it. I want them to get rid of it. I want them to cleanse themselves. I'm learning the song, madam. I shall sing it with them.
Doctor, you'll have to put a stop to this.
A stop to what, Mrs. Pollock?
Postman, you speak to the doctor.
And I'm not minding, sir, only it's a bit of an inconvenience, you might say.
What is, postman?
The queer lad, sir. I daren't leave my bicycle out of me hand for a moment.
The boys steal it?
Not only the postman's bicycle, all the bicycles of all the tradesmen.
I wouldn't call it stealing, ma'am. They borrow it and ride like they're crazy. They bring it back, though. It's inconvenient, that's all, sir.
Doctor, they must be taught obedience.
Mrs. Pollock, I think they must be understood first. They're lonely, they're frightened. They're cursed with a memory of horror and convulsion. It's too quiet here for them. They're terrified by the quiet. That's why they seize the bicycle. It's movement. They need movement.
Begging your pardon, Doctor.
Yes?
I'll speak to a few of the lads in the village. It might be we could lend our bicycles of a Sunday.
Well, that's very kind of you.
It's all right, sir. Some of the Durley lads could come up and play a bit of football with them. Durley versus Bergen Belsen.
Well, that's a wonderful idea, postman. We'll do it.
Scrimmage it clean, lads. No more of this here biting and gouging. It's high English. Scrimmage it clean. Now we go. Quiet does it.
You do it, Bergen Belsen. Lovely kick. Quite handsome.
Durley versus Bergen Belsen. Inspiration. We gave them what they craved, movement. And we discovered something else. They did not wish to be set apart.
Durley Village 3, Durley Hostel 2. Scrimmage it clean, lads.
Durley Village versus Durley Hostel. They preferred that. And because they did not wish to be set apart, we were given a powerful lever against recent memory.
Children, the doctor's respect. Get in line, please. Your cigarettes.
9.
What's that?
9.
Are you sick?
9.
Not really?
9, Frau Pollock. Not sick.
Something's wrong.
9. That Wilhelm Trowbridge, English boy.
You mean William Trowbridge, the butcher's son?
William. Good football player, William. Fine kick. 13-year-old. No smoke.
Oh, I see. William doesn't smoke.
I stop. Smoking? 9. Wilhelm say it's bad for children. He think I speak English very fine.
You do. Oh, you speak English very fine.
Hello? Cheerio? Thank you very much.
I shall, you will, he will. Plural, we shall, you will, they will. Shall in the first person indicates future tense. Will in the first person indicates determination.
Yeah, Frau Pollock. We will learn English, yeah?
Watchmaking is not at all difficult. This is called the bezel. This is the crystal. This is the bat.
Cheerio. I will learn.
Yellow the boy, yaw the girl. Soft saw bench. I learn Hebrew good, Frau Pollock. In Palestine, I will speak Hebrew very good, nice.
Doctor, every time I think we're making progress, something happens. You better go to your office. Kurt is waiting for you.
Kurt, empty your pockets.
It belongs to me.
It belongs to everyone. You stole it. Empty your pockets. Good Lord. Is that why Mrs. Pollock sent you to me?
Yeah.
8 slices of bread. Kurt, are you hungry?
Always.
Then don't let me stop you. Go ahead, eat.
Oh, thank you. Bread. Bread is good.
Ah, chew. Don't swallow.
I swallow is quick.
Boy, you'll get a stomachache.
People fetch stomachache from eating.
They most certainly do.
9. No stomachache from eating.
Well, it's a medical fact.
9. Stomachache from not eating.
Good. Put the bread down. I'll not take it away.
Sure?
I promise.
I put it down, but I hold it here.
Kurt, what are you planning to be when you grow up?
Cook. All children want to be cook. Put potato in pot, beans, carrot. Pot cooks. Children watch. Beautiful to watch.
In the weeks that have passed, it seems as though the hostel of Burley was divided evenly between belly hunger and mind hunger. The craving for food has never ceased, and the children began to exhibit the bloated, lopsided fat that comes from strenuous feeding after years of starvation. But their minds also have begun to bulge. English grammar, English history, Hebrew, arithmetic, facts to be crammed in, stuffed, and devoured. In spite of all they've gone through, the will to survive and the will for knowledge is intense and terrifying. They are not like other children. There is also an intensity of prayer which makes the common, ordinary daily blessing for bread a moment of fervence and divine homage.
Whose turn is it to say the blessing for bread today?
Mine.
All right, Kurt, you may say it.
Baruch Atoy Adonoy Eloheinu Melech Ho'olam Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'oretz.
Amen.
Now, chew your food. Don't gulp it. Don't bolt it. Chew it slowly. Children, is there something wrong with the food?
Doctor, they aren't eating.
Kurt?
There is a problem.
Is there?
I am not the spokesman.
Who is the spokesman?
Arthur, why don't you speak?
I will. Doctor.
What is it, Arthur?
On the Sabbath, 11 boys are to be bar mitzvah.
That's true. Is there something wrong with that?
I wish to be the 12th boy.
Well, that's a bit premature, Arthur, isn't it? Excuse me, I mean, you're too young. You have to be 13 for the ceremony of confirmation.
Kurt is past 13, yeah?
Yes, but you can understand that many of the boys are past 13, yet they will be bar mitzvah this Saturday. In the places where you were, the ceremony of confirmation was impossible to perform. That is why we are doing it this Sabbath.
11 boys. I shall be the 12th. Excuse, please. I will be the 12th.
Well, you've learned your grammar. But you're too young, Arthur. You're not more than 11.
13.
Children, eat your food. This is nonsense.
I have 13 years.
Arthur, it is very wrong to tell a lie.
I have 13 years.
You see, it is a problem.
I have 13 years. I wish to be bar mitzvah.
Arthur, come here.
I have 13 years.
Insisting that you are doesn't make it so.
I have 13 years.
Now, look, I won't contradict you. Have you some evidence, some proof of your age?
Here, my diary.
Your what?
Diary. I keep good diary in Belsen. Look here. April 15, 3 p.m. British come. We are saved. It's in the diary.
But how does that prove that you're 13?
I convince, yes.
You'll have to.
I do. Here, look. April 22, 1,000 bodies buried. April 23, 5,000. April 24, 5,000. April 25, 4,000. April 26, look what it says. My birthday. My birthday, April 26, last year. I have 12 years. Now is another year. I have 13 years. I wish to be bar mitzvah.
There it was, in the middle of the methodical entries of murder and assassination. There it was, written in a childish hand, in large, straggling capital letters. My birthday. And so on a Sabbath not long ago, 12 boys were confirmed as they stood together before the ark containing the Holy Scrolls. They lead a quiet life in Hampshire. 57 boys, 14 girls. There are others like them in Manchester and Oxford, in the Lake District. They are not like any children you've ever known. They are homeless. They are orphaned. They may stay in England on their permit visas for 2 years. They hope eventually to be allowed to go in a group to Palestine. But they're not like other children. They still have no belief at all in a next time. That is perhaps the worst thing that Belsen and Treblinka have done to these children. But they're learning. I don't believe that the horror of the past will ever leave their minds completely. But they will learn to be men and women who take pride in themselves, who can hope, who can look forward to tomorrow, and believe that it will come.
If you would like a free copy of the script you have just heard, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now, we present Rabbi Henry Fisher of Congregation B'nai Zion of Chicago. Speaking from Chicago, Rabbi Fisher.
In ancient days, the Valley of Hinnom was the symbol of human degradation. We know it as Gehenna. In our days, we have its twin, where man's inhumanity to man has reached its greatest depth. We have Belsen and Buchenwald and Treblinka, and the worst was Treblinka. You've heard a few lines of the song of Treblinka, of this song that was sung in every concentration camp, in every sewer and in every hole where Jewish people lay hiding. What terrible visions this song conjures up. The poignant tragedy that befell millions of our people is mirrored in these lines. All the pain and anguish, all the sorrow and suffering, the loneliness and the helplessness. The song of Treblinka, the song of children bereft of parents, with bodies broken and minds mangled and souls scarred, Treblinka, a 20th century Gehenna. To us, Treblinka is a challenge. To us who breathe freely, a charge has been given to bind up the wounds, to give strength into bodies that are broken, to bring love and understanding to hearts that have known hunger and yearning, to restore faith and confidence to minds that have known naught but deceit and betrayal. When an old man dies, you bury a past. When a child dies, you bury a future. How many futures have been lost to Treblinka? And how many futures must we build for those who've survived? It is these surviving children who must be resuscitated, into whose dry and desiccated bones new life must be breathed. For them we must build quiet, peaceful lives, the quiet lives of Hampshire. But Hampshire is not enough. We are grateful for Hampshire, a lovely name and a lovely place that is typical of the English countryside. But Hampshire is not enough. For it is but a wayside resting place. They are there only temporarily. Beyond Hampshire we think of Ein Harod, of the Galil, of the Valley of the Jordan, of Tel Aviv. We think of Eretz Israel and a home that is waiting for them, which civilization must give them and which these boys and girls yearn for. The song of Treblinka, the song of fear and pain and suspicion, and another song, the Atikva, the song of joy and of gladness and of faith renewed. And this song of Zion alone can erase that other song, that song of evil. Blot out of the hearts of these luckless children all those terrible memories and enable them to face life anew. Face it as we want all God's children to face it, strong and firm, with eyes clear and minds stout and souls resurgent, and with the light of faith and love in their hearts.
Thank you, Rabbi Fisher. Light is written by Morton Wishengrad. The music is composed by Morris Mimorski and conducted by Milton Katims. Featured as the doctor was Horace Braham. The liturgical introduction was sung by cantor David Putterman. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. Today's script was prepared with the permission of the New Yorker magazine and a copyright owner of the article on which it was based. For a free copy, write to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York.